This is our reading for Saturday, April 4th. We're going to be in John chapter 7. John chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. After this, Jesus went about in Galilee. He would not go about in Judea, because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of booths was at hand. So his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples also may see the works you are doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers believed in him. Jesus said to them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always here. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify about it that its works are evil. You go up to the feast. I am not going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come." After saying this, he remained in Galilee. But after his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he also went up, not publicly, but in private. The Jews were looking for him at the feast and saying, "Where is he?" And there was much muttering about him among the people, while some said, "He is a good man." Others said, "No, he is leading the people astray." Yet for fear of the Jews, no one spoke openly of him. About the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. The Jews therefore marveled, saying, "How is it that this man has learning when he has never studied?" So Jesus answered them, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. But the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me?" The crowd answered, "You have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you?" Jesus answered them, "I did one work, and you all marveled at it. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it was from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." Well, Jesus is creating quite a stir as he continues his ministry. We've read 6 chapters of the book of John so far, now getting into the 7th, and he's still teaching basically the same thing. He's still pointing out this unity between him and the Father, though he's not quite as direct about it here in chapter 7. But going back to the beginning of our reading, it says that the Jews were seeking to kill him. It didn't take very long for that to get started, did it? Now, verse 2 tells us this is about the time of the Feast of Booths. And I just want to, give a little bit of information on that. If you remember during our study of the Old Testament, I handed out a chart that showed the different Jewish months and how they correlate with our current calendar. Well, this particular festival would have been on the 15th of the 7th month, which would be September. So just give you an idea if you're interested in knowing that information. His brothers make this comment, "Leave and go to Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing." And then they say, "No one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly." But verse 5 tells us his brothers did not believe in him. Based on that, I kind of wonder if they're not mocking Jesus. Saying, "Don't you want to be known? You need to show yourself." But they didn't believe, so they weren't being genuine with what they were saying. Verse 6, Jesus tells them, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always here." I think he just throws it right back at them. And verse 7, "The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify about it that its works are evil." Well, this goes back to our previous readings where we discussed Jesus bringing the light of truth into the world, and that exposes the darkness, and that those that are in the darkness are going to shun the light. They don't want the light. They don't want their evil deeds to be exposed. So they're not doing that particular thing, so they're not going to have the same reaction that the Jews are having with Jesus. But he tells them in verse 8, you go up to the feast. I'm not going up to this feast, for my time is not yet fully come. I want to point out that the way this reads in the English Standard Version, and perhaps yours as well, it makes it look like Jesus is lying here. However, some manuscripts have an additional word in here. Now, remember that when manuscripts were copied from the very originals, in other words, John originally wrote this down, and then scribes would copy it and make copies so that it could be spread about and be shared by others. And you know that from time to time, there are very small mistakes that happen or discrepancies from one manuscript to another. I do that all the time when I'm typing. It doesn't matter if I'm copying something or if I'm dictating something. Mistakes happen. You know, a word gets pronounced wrong and it does something different. I leave out a punctuation. Well, here, there's a word missing, yet. So it would read, you go up to the feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. So I just want to point that out because Jesus does not lie. Jesus does not sin. He never sinned his entire time that he was on the earth. So keep that in mind. He's not telling his brothers a lie. Though I would point out that he's not necessarily telling his brothers all of his plans either. They don't believe in him, so there's really no reason for Jesus to share what his plans are with them. After saying this, he remained in Galilee, but after his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he also went up, not publicly, but in private. Think about this. In verse 11, they're looking for him. They're saying, where is he? Now, if you're looking for somebody and you see somebody's family, what are you going to do? You're going to go to that family and say, where is your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, or such and such? You know, where are they? So by not letting his brothers in on his plans and by not going with them, he was able to remain part of the crowd, if you will, to go up privately. Then you see in verse 12, they're still trying to figure out who Jesus really is. They've seen some incredible things by Jesus, and I'm sure the word of feeding the 5,000 and the word of healings have spread. But verse 12, some people are saying he's a good man. Others say, no, he is leading the people astray. I know that I keep using Nicodemus, but I think that Nicodemus's confession is very important within the story at this point, that he made that point, for we know that no one can do these things unless he is sent by God. So either they don't believe that he actually did the things, or they don't understand authority and the works of God, because when they're saying, no, he is leading the people astray, you're either sent by God or not. And if you're sent by God, then you are to be listened to. And so something is in there. Maybe they haven't seen him, they don't believe him, but there's a reason why the people are saying no, 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 and he's not a prophet. He's not who he says he is. About the middle of the feast, Jesus goes up into the temple. He begins teaching. The Jews marveled, saying, how is it that this man has learning when he has never studied? People still have this kind of attitude today. You know, if you didn't go to college, or you didn't go to a university, or maybe you didn't go to the right university, then why should I listen to you? Why should I consider that, you know, you know what you're talking about? Especially for somebody that might be self-taught. Well, they would say, well, where's your credentials? Where did you learn this? And if you can't show me credentials, I might not listen to you. There have been many people who have been self-taught who are some of the most intelligent people this world has ever known. So that's a false idea, and it's true for that time as well. But of course, Jesus' knowledge is not limited to, did he open up a book and read it, or did he sit at the feet of a teacher? No, he's sent by God. He knows exactly what he's teaching, for he is the Word incarnate. He has come to this earth to be the Word. and to deliver the word. And so when they say, how is it this man has learning whom he has never, when he has never studied, he didn't go to the school that was teaching these things. Remember that Paul the Apostle, that he had gone to some of these schools and sat at the feet of great teachers, and that was something that the Jews took great stock in, but he points out that he gave up those things, counted them as rubbish for the cause of Christ. But Jesus answered, said, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. Well, here he goes back to the point about being sent by God and being united in purpose with God and doing the Lord's will. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. So if anyone is seeking truth, or if anyone is truly open to the scriptures and the prophets and the law, then they would be able to discern, they would be able to understand that he is sent to do God's will, and that he is speaking on the authority of God the Father. The one who speaks on his own authority, verse 18, seeks his own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. So this is motivations, and of course we know that there are improper motivations amongst the leadership of the Jews of this time. There are people that have improper motivations that put themselves in a position of religious authority even today. They are really seeking to glorify self rather than to glorify God. But he says when your intention is to glorify God, then you will do things according to his will in order to give him that glory. But verse 19, has not Moses given you the law, yet none of you keeps the law? Why do you seek to kill me? They're saying, well, who's seeking to kill you? Verse 21, I did one work and you all marveled at it. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. Remember that it was the eighth day in which they were to circumcise. That eighth day could land on a Sabbath. Well, what if you as a Jew, which would you choose? Would you choose to not circumcise on the eighth day? Or would you choose to keep the Sabbath in such a way that would prevent you from circumcising on the eighth day? Or would you say, no, we have to circumcise on the eighth day? He's giving them a quandary. There's a choice that would have to be made. And I think he gives them that quandary because he knows exactly what their answer would be. He knows what choice they would make. It would be obvious to a Jew of that time. But on verse 23, if on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? Well, there was a choice then too to do good, to do what was right. So what would you choose? Would you choose to do what's right? Or would you choose to avoid doing what's right in order to uphold a strict Sabbath law? Remember that over the last couple of centuries before this point, rabbinical teachings had increased the strictness of the Sabbath, while at the same time sort of giving a few loopholes here and there about, you know, you could, for example, how far you could travel on the Sabbath. You could take some items with you. You could go your maximum distance, and then you could say, well, this is my new home, and so now I can travel another distance. They did things to circumvent the law while they made it more strict in other areas. And so verse 24, this all comes down to do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. That is to judge according to what the scriptures actually say, with no false motives involved, no appearances involved, looking clearly at what has been revealed. So that gets us up through verse 24 of John chapter 7. We will continue on and probably finish up chapter 7 tomorrow. So please come back for that recording. I hope that you are all doing well, and I pray that God be with us all. Thank you for listening.